Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Walker, and we thank you for joining us. If you would like to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. Hey, Ed, please mention briefly that story right there.
Well, we have released a press release on this. Some of our people know, some of our listeners. I don't think we made it real public, but on May 22nd last year, so 2019, a young man from Pompano Beach, Florida, by the name of Chase Davis, posted a pair of threatening messages on our Facebook page. And this, do you want me to read what he wrote?
Mm-hmm.
This is what he said. "I am coming to Tupelo unexpected with a group of people, and we're going to kill every person who runs your group. You are the most disgusting people in America. I have put together a group to have you," and he says something ugly about us, "obliterated into dust. Yes, I literally mean killing all of you. You people are nothing but disgusting, worn out, old excuses of human life." That's end quote. Now, we immediately reported the criminal threats to the U.S. Attorney's Office. That spawned an investigation by the FBI, a federal grand jury, and Chase Davis was convicted. And in July, just this month, July 20th, he was sentenced to 6 months in prison, an additional 3 years of federal probation, during which he'll be strictly monitored, supervised by federal authorities. Some other things in the sentence for Chase Davis. But one of the things that we have mentioned in our press release is that what we also did when those threats were posted on our Facebook page is we immediately reported the threats to Facebook, and we were told that the threat was not a policy violation. Now we appealed that. There's a place you can go to on Facebook's page and report these. We actually appealed the decision, and we were told a second time that threatening to murder everyone at AFA does not violate Facebook's policy. So we talk a lot about censorship. Mm-hmm. And that is going on left and right. We can hardly keep up with it. Facebook told us that those posts did not violate their policy.
We were shocked by that.
But obviously, the federal government and the courts took the threat seriously. Facebook did not.
Right.
Yeah.
Any comments on that, Walker?
Yeah. Well, this was a year ago, a little bit over a year ago. But you see the trend towards violence going on with all the rhetoric in our country. So Facebook is doing little to nothing to stop this violence, but yet they're censoring conservatives and people they don't agree with. But we appreciate law enforcement and
well,
the U.S. Attorney's Office.
You know what?
When
that first happened, I was willing to give Facebook a second chance or a break. Not a break, but it was one of those things where we submitted this quote, this threat to Facebook, where a guy says he's going to kill us all. I mean, it was a direct threat. It was unambiguous. It wasn't anything hidden. Didn't sound like a drunk guy or anything like that or somebody on drugs. It was a direct threat. And Facebook said, we don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
So we said, well, resubmit that because certainly somebody misunderstanding the seriousness of the situation. Well, we resubmitted it or appealed it to Facebook, and they again said, we don't have a problem with
those posts. Right.
Those posts. So when conservatives say that Facebook and other big tech companies are biased, you know, or have chosen a side.
They're Democrat operatives now.
Yeah.
Well, boy, you better not post anything about the coronavirus that doesn't have the support of the World Health Organization that they do have a problem with.
But in all seriousness, we want to thank God that this man was caught and he was convicted. Well, he confessed to it.
He pleaded guilty.
Right.
Convicted. He confessed to it. He's been put in the federal pen.
And by the way, Chase Davis, I'm mentioning his name, folks. First of all, it's been released by the U.S. Attorney's Office. Pray for this young man. He is very troubled, has a lot of issues, and so we need to pray for him because the devil has him by the scruff of the neck. Hmm. And we want him free, and we want him to be a brother.
Did we post this we'll post this information on our Facebook page, ironically, today's issues, and we've got it at afa.net as well, mm-hmm. this information, afa.net. This is the information Ed read from. Steve Dirdall's in studio. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
How are you?
Fine. I'm great. Well, I'm well. I'll let you determine if I'm great or not.
You're well?
I'm well.
That's well with my soul.
It is.
Ed, do you want to introduce the next topic?
Yeah, I want to welcome M.D. Perkins. He is producer of In His Image. He's a producer at American Family Studios, does great work, is an excellent writer, is working on a couple of projects for American Family Association. And M.D., welcome to the program. And we want you to, a lot of people are just now hearing about In His Image. Mm-hmm. We're just now starting to go public with it. Why don't you tell our listeners about the film and what the genesis of it was?
Sure. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for having me. In His Image is an hour and 40-minute documentary that deals with the topic of gender and sexuality. It deals with it from a Christian perspective. What does the Bible say about this? But it also deals with some of the testimonies of people who found freedom in Christ from homosexuality and transgenderism, as well as some of the scientific issues underneath, kind of digging to the bottom of what does science actually say about sexual orientation or kind of dealing with transgender medicine and how, how science has kind of been co-opted by a lot of these ideologies to kind of push these agendas and purposes. So the film deals with all of these topics. We had a focus of presenting the truth, obviously, but also in a compassionate way. It's intended as a resource for the church to be strengthened and encouraged, and to also be encouraged to stand firm in the truth of God's word.
Now, before we get into anything else about the film, tell our listeners about how they can get a sneak peek for this film.
Yeah, so there's an upcoming, we're calling it a pre-show event. Go to inhisimage.movie, that's our website. You'll be able to register there to watch the sneak peek pre-show event that happens on Saturday, August 1st. And what that is it's a few clips of the movie. It's some behind-the-scenes interviews with myself and Kendra White, the director, and the other producer on the project. And we talk about the impetus behind the project, AFA's focus on this, as well as, our approach to dealing with these very sensitive and obviously timely issues.
And it's a free event.
Mm-hmm. It is a free event.
I think it's about 20 minutes long somewhere.
Exactly,
In there. So inhisimage.movie, that's the website. You'll be able to register to watch this free event. So,
yeah, MD, give us an idea of maybe some good some people that are in the documentary and the film throughout that maybe share their testimonies or things like that.
Yeah, so we have four main testimonies that are featured. One is Walt Heyer, and he's an older gentleman. He transitioned. He was born as a man. He transitioned into a woman back in the 80s before transgenderism was even a hot topic on the national scene. Mm. And, lived with that regret, had the transition, surgeries and all that, and found faith in Christ and was rescued by Jesus and realized that he was intended to live actually as a biological man.
Yeah, that's what makes this stand out so much, and there's nothing else like it. No other films or documentaries or docuseries about this, because not only do we talk about the issue and talk about what God has to say about this topic, but we also talk about redemption.
Yeah.
And we bring stories of redemption and testimonies, and that just makes it extra powerful.
Well, I'm sure as you gentlemen know, the thought that someone can change is a highly controversial statement to even make. And sadly, that's becoming a controversial statement in the conservative Christian church today. I mean, the whole Revoice conference and that kind of thing is built on this innate and immutable idea of homosexuality, that you're born this way and you can't change. It doesn't matter that the Holy Spirit now indwells the believer and enables sanctification and the growth and rethinking in your mind and all of that. It doesn't matter that that's true, you know, but because you were really ultimately born this way and you can't change, you know, that's sadly that shackles people into that kind of mindset and lifestyle. And ultimately, it sets people on the path toward destruction.
I've always thought, because one of the arguments that's always thrown back at Christians is that you are making, for example, homosexuals unhappy when you tell them that God did not make you that way. And sometimes they despair and they try to take their own lives. I would think just the opposite would be true. Because a lot of these young men and women do not want these same-sex attractions, and if you tell them it's too bad, you'll always be this way and you'll never get away from it, to me, that's what would really cause despair. When you tell people God loves you and will walk with you as you leave this lifestyle, you change, have your mind redeemed, and you learn how to face the temptations down the road, to be told that God will walk with you, that Jesus Christ loves you and died for you, that gives people hope.
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting because, you know, some of the statistics back up that idea. I was recently reading a report on these religiously based sexual orientation change efforts. And, you know, sometimes get mislabeled as conversion therapy or something kind of scary sounding like that. But basically, it looked at people who had gone through these efforts and examined them after they had gone through them. And one, it found that change actually was possible, that there was some effectiveness there. But it also found that even their mental health had improved. And, you know, issues like despair or substance abuse or even, you know, suicidal ideations and kind of suicidal tendencies, some of those had even very significantly diminished, even after some of those processes.
So what can we tell folks how they can access the documentary?
Please go to inhisimage.movie and register for the pre-show event that's happening on August 1st this weekend.
Inhisimage.movie. Mm-hmm. Inhisimage.movie. Check that out. Thank you, MD. Appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We look forward to this. Is going to be the impact of this is going to be, we're praying for a great impact on this, because there's so much confusion out there, so much timidity in the Christian church, even among just by extolling God's plan for human sexuality. That's controversial,
right?
In many places today, even in the Christian community. So
the DVD version of this, by the way, will come out later in the year. This is a kind of a sneak peek.
Hmm. Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And you know what, folks? That's what we proclaim here, is that God can change people's lives, and does, and has all through down through history. You know, we're all, Steve,
yeah,
we're all, the Bible says that we're all sinners. Mm-hmm. We're born that way.
Without a doubt. I've seen this documentary. So very well done.
It really is.
Compelling arguments. It always surprises me, and it kind of amuses me a little bit, that gay activists are just fine with somebody changing their gender. If you want to become a man and you're a woman, or if you want a woman, that change is just A-OK, it's celebrated. But if you want to change your sexual orientation, all of a sudden, that's set in stone. It just doesn't make sense.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so there's four stories in this film?
Four testimonies.
Four testimonies that are followed. And
there's a lot. There's more. There are more speakers in there than that, but those are the four testimonies.
Right.
Kind of what the story is woven around.
All you're hearing is about Caitlyn Jenner and
right.
others, who they say this is a positive thing, that somebody is a male becomes a wants to become a female or says they're a female, we're supposed to celebrate that. Well, here we have stories of real celebration where people that were confused or thought they wanted to be another sex, and we know that's a spiritual deception, right?
Right.
But God, through the power of Jesus Christ, changed these people's lives, and they tell their story, which you won't hear on CNN.
Right.
Or MSNBC or in other places, because they only, as Steve just pointed out, they only give one side of this, the LGBTQ side, and they don't say, well, what about people who've come out of this and become Christians? What about their story? Why can't we hear their story?
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues, but I wanted to say we're all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Bible says, so we all need to be redeemed from our sin and put in a right relationship with God, or else we're lost. And the Bible says lost forever. And so the only way we can have that right relationship with God is to have forgiveness of our sins that I mentioned earlier. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Bible says, is the only one who can forgive our sins.
Praise be to God that he gave us away.
Yes.
Right. He had mercy on us people who couldn't attain heaven, having given opportunity to go to heaven as long as we trust and believe in Christ for our salvation. You know, the story of the Bible is at once very complicated and also very simple.
Right.
Huh?
That's true.
It is. It's
a lot of details. You can get lost in those. A lot of names, a lot of kings, a lot of countries.
But the way to be right with God and have a relationship with God and have life abundant and life eternal is simply explained in the scriptures. There's a lot of theology, a lot of complexities, but the basic message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why so many people came to faith under Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I went and saw Billy Graham, one of his last crusades in San Jose. I went, and he struggled. He had Parkinson's, and he struggled on his way up there. He delivered what I thought was the most vanilla, plain gospel. You need God.
And you think no one's going to respond?
I think nobody's going to. Well, he's off today.
Yeah.
And when he gives the invitation, thousands and thousands of people stream down. And I thought, well, okay, I know that they have counselors that are told to come forward to meet everybody. Maybe this is just the counselors. I went out to get something to drink, came back 10 minutes later, hundreds and hundreds still counseling and talking to people. It's God's hand was on that man.
Right.
Well, and that's because a lot of different pastors and teachers and ministers and scholars have their particular calling, right?
Yeah.
Ravi Zacharias, who just recently passed away, was a wonderful Christian apologist. He reached people from that world.
Yes.
But Billy Graham's message was, plain vanilla.
Yeah.
That is, here's what the Bible says. It's not hard to understand. It's up to you now.
Right.
That's the hour of decision.
Right.
Hour of decision. Right. All right, Steve. Go.
Well, right now in Washington, D.C., Bill Barr, Attorney General, is sitting in front of a committee. Here's what I'm going to promise you guys. I will bring in the greatest hits tomorrow. We'll listen to some stuff because
it's still going on.
I listened to a bunch of it. I'll just give you this to whet your appetite. Jim Jordan, who's the ranking member of that committee, gave a tremendous opening statement, and he ended the opening statement with full 10 minutes of video of nothing but violence, this riots that are going on, just minute after minute after scene after scene after scene. And, of course, the chairman is Gerald Nadler, who was the one that said it's all a myth.
Right.
So I thought, just amazing that is very strong, very strong. We'll have highlights tomorrow. Hey, so there's a controversy going on. You remember when President Trump said, hydroxychloroquine, this I think is the way to go for COVID, which immediately put hydroxychloroquine on the don't go list for anybody that You know, if Trump's for it, we're against it.
That's right.
And so the media and Democrats and everybody have been, and in fact, Facebook and Twitter have said that if they find something that's counter to the message of whatever the mainstream is putting out, they're going to take it down. Mm. Well, they made good on their threat. This headline from the Daily Beast says, Twitter pulls wildly misleading COVID-19 video shared by Trump. I want you to listen to the video that was put out there. This is Dr. Stella Emanuel. She treats patients with COVID. And
she's from Nigeria, right? So she has a look. You got to pay attention to her.
Yeah,
accent.
It's a little bit of an accent, but if you do, you'll look. And it's a little long. This is 2 minutes and 18 seconds. But I thought it was important we hear the whole thing. Go ahead.
What I'm upset is that I see people that cannot breathe. I see parents walk in. I see diabetics sit in my office, knowing that this is a death sentence, and they can't breathe. And I hug them and I tell them it's going to be okay. You're going to leave. And we treat them, and they leave. None has died. So if some fake science, some person sponsored by all these fake pharma companies comes out and say, oh, we've done studies and they found out that it doesn't work, I can tell you categorically it's fake science. I want to know who is sponsoring that study. I want to know who is behind it. Because there is no way I can treat 350 patients and counting and nobody is dead and they all did better. And then you're going to tell me that you treated 20 people, 40 people and it didn't work. I'm a true testimony. So I came here to Washington, D.C., to tell America, nobody needs to get sick. This virus has a cure. It is called hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and Zithromax. I know people want to talk about masks. Hello? You don't need masks. There is a cure. I know they don't want to open schools. No, you don't need people to be locked down. There is prevention, and there is a cure. And let me tell you something. All you doctors out there that tell me, oh, yeah, I want a double-blinded studies. I just tell you, quit sounding like a computer, double-blinded, double-blinded. I don't know whether your chips are malfunctioning, but I'm a real doctor. I have radiologists, we have plastic surgeons, we have neurosurgeons like Sanjay Gupta saying, oh, yeah, it doesn't work and it causes heart disease. Let me ask you, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, hear me. Have you ever seen a COVID patient? Have you ever treated anybody with hydroxychloroquine and they died from heart disease? When you do, come and talk to me. Because I sit down in my clinic every day and I see this patient walk in every day, scared to death. I see people driving 2-3 hours to my clinic because some ER doctor is scared of the Texas board or they are scared of something and they will not prescribe medication to these people. I tell all of you doctors that are sitting down and watching Americans die. You're like the good Nazis, the good Germans that watched Jews get killed and you did not speak up. If they come after me, they threaten me. They've threatened to, I've gotten all kinds of threats. Oh, they're going to report me to the boards. I say, you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to let Americans die. And if this is the mountain, if this is the hill where I get nailed on.
And she went on.
Yeah. Wow. That what was her name again?
Dr. Emanuel, Stella Emanuel.
Okay. So listen to this, folks. By the way, where can people go and watch that now?
I'm asking Brett to put it up on our Facebook page.
Okay, but Facebook took it down.
There's some other places posting it. We'll find somewhere.
Okay, so check out our Facebook.
Maybe we'll have it. I'll ask Jody to put it up on One News Now.
What was her name again?
Stella Emanuel. Dr. Stella
Emanuel.
Yeah,
put it up on One News Now. Because
we'll put it up. I'll ask Jody to do that.
What you just heard, folks, was a press conference that a group of doctors did out in front of the Supreme Court. And for what she just said there, she's treated over 300 patients. For what you just heard her say, Facebook,
Twitter, YouTube
took her message down because they said it was false information. Wildly false information from a doctor who has seen over 300 COVID.
Over 350.
Over 350.
And none of them have passed away.
Right.
Wish we had more time, but we're out of time. See you later, folks. Have a good day.